Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and good evening. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Monday, November the 16th, and we're doing our show live this evening at 8 p.m. If you're listening online, you can join the conversation by calling 646-668-2636 and press 1 on your keypad. Also, you can join us, you can follow us at the website. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And there you can click on the follow us icon, and you can be able to get updates on your Facebook page or your email, and let you know when we're doing our new shows are being downloaded. And when we are airing live, you get a notification also. And we're going to talk about a couple things this evening. I'm going to touch on a couple topics. I want to talk to you this evening, to the men and brothers, about some of the things. We're going to talk about seven pieces of wisdom we want to share with fathers, that they can be able to, the importance of being a father, because we know today in this culture, fatherhood has been devalued, and we have a lot of issues in the culture with fathering. You know, some young men are not raised with men in the home and fathers, and they don't have that example, either godly or they just don't have any male role models in their lives as they're coming up. And then when they become fathers, they sometimes struggle with what it means to really be a father. But you know that being a father and a husband is a little bit more than just providing material needs and providing, you know, food and shelter and all those things. But there's some other things that as men we need to know what it actually, the value of having fathers in the home, and also how important it is for us to be fathers to our children, our sons and our daughters, and also to the mothers of our children. That's one thing we're going to discuss also, because we understand how it is sometimes we have issues in relationships and things happen. But however, you're still a father to those children, and we just want to encourage you today and just share some information that maybe you'd be able to think about. Or if you know of a man who's having struggling with his children or seeing his children, or even just, you know, having struggles with his children as they're growing up, that we can give him a word of encouragement tonight. So I'm going to go right into him, open up with prayer, and we're going to read the scripture, and then open up with prayer, and we'll get right into the conversation. I'm going to touch on a couple of points here. The scripture I'm going to open up with is one of the ones we talk a lot about when we talk about fathering and parenting. It's going to be Ephesians chapter number 6, and it's going to be starting at verse number 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Father, today, O God, we say thank you today, God. We say thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in our lives, God. I thank you for salvation, God. I thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, oh God, that saved my life today, oh God, that renewed me and reconciled me back to you, God. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the men, oh God, the fathers, the husbands, the sons, oh God, all those men in the body of Christ, oh God, who are walking it out, oh God, who are being living examples and living epistles for their family and their communities, God. We pray today that you continue to strengthen and encourage them, God, no matter what burden, oh God, comes upon them, no matter what struggles they're going through right now, Lord God. We pray, oh God, that you, oh God, would bless them and keep them. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. For any of my first-time listeners who this is your first time coming on the show, we're here multiple times a week. We recently expanded our program. We started out doing a live Saturday morning at 10 a.m., call-in show, but now we've expanded a little bit more. We're doing more episodes. We're doing more, bringing more pastors and sharing more wisdom. Because here, each show we do, we're going to discuss and find solutions for some of the issues that men face as they grow in their faith and encourage them as they lead and guide and love their wives and children. And that's what we're here for. One of the main things we want to do, we don't necessarily want to talk about the struggles, let's talk about what's going on. What we want to do is give it a solution. And from where we're coming out, in our perspective is that through the word of God, we can find the answers we need to be the husband and father we need to be and to strengthen us. And even as sons, you know, those are the three roles and seasons of life that all men have in common. We all have sons, We're all going to be husbands and fathers, and we need God. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. We need the Word of God to guide us and set that standard in our lives as we walk out this life. You know, because sometimes it can be very hard on brothers, because as we look around, some brothers, you know, when you talk to men who are having issues with their families and their children, it's the burden is too great for them. Without a foundation or nothing to lean on or no one to encourage them through the struggles and the hard times, a lot of brothers give up, unfortunately. And we see that in the culture today because they're just overwhelmed. And it's why young brothers who, you know, they let their passions run wild with them, but then, you know, I couldn't even imagine being 16, 17, 18 years old and having a child and all of a sudden there's so much pressure being put on me. And that's what pushes a lot of men out of the lives of their children. But today, again, we're going to talk about solutions. So praise the Lord. Pastor Maurice Cornwell, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Brother Deacon. How are you doing?
Good, brother. I'm glad you could join us tonight. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to share some wisdom about fathering.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to share some wisdom about fathering this evening, and we're going to just talk to some things and share. Hopefully for those who are listening, they can be able to glean from what we're going to share. And those, you know, and if you have any comments or inputs, just press 1 on your keypad. You can join in the conversation. Just let us know. And we can probably answer some of your questions. Or if not, we can, you know, we'll point you in the right direction. Because we may not have all the answers. But when we sit and reason together as men and as fathers and husbands, we can figure these things out. But I do encourage any man that's listening, whatever you're going through, don't give up. Never give up. Keep fighting. The Christian brothers, just continue to pray. Seek guidance. Seek the counseling, what it takes to be able to lead your home and lead your children, no matter what your circumstance or situation. Amen? Amen. Beth Cornwell, how are you, sir?
Brother Dick, I'm doing just great. It's a privilege to be on the show tonight. I thank you for this show and for having a venue that we can actually share the Word of God. Just some real-life situations with men, and I thank you for this opportunity, Dick.
Amen, sir. Could you share your church information, your ministry, how they can get contact with you?
Yeah, well, I'm the pastor and overseer of Uplift the Word Ministries. It's a young ministry about 5 or 6 years old, and we're in Pasadena, Maryland. We meet on Sunday mornings at 107 Mountain Road, Suite W. We have our morning service beginning at 10, and then we have our Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And that's where we have been having our service, and our motto is, through Christ we are lifted to lift up others. Our whole goal is to teach the Word of God, learn how to apply God's Word to our everyday lives, and focus in on how to use God's Word, and then how to teach others to do the exact same thing, because we've been lifted up out of our mess through the Word of God. Our job is to teach others to do the same thing and help others to be able to lift up out of their mess.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. So if you're online, if you called in and you want to share, press 1 on your keypad and we can let you into the conversation. Well, Pastor Cole, let me start with you, brother, because one of the things that we want to talk about, we want to share wisdom today for the Christian father. And what I want to ask you, because I know you're a man of a certain age and you have three children under 15, I do believe. So we want to glean from you and where you at right now in real time, brother, in real time.
Go ahead. Yeah, we have four. We have a son that's 22, and then we have a daughter that's 13, and then we have a son that's 12, and we have a young daughter that's 5. So, yes, it's across the spectrum.
Amen. So you're right in the mix. Well, what I want to add, I'm going to start a conversation off. We're going to talk about role models. I know that you know that we talk about we should be conscious and gladly perform this task as role models in our children's life, because our children will copy whatever they see us doing, not just what we think and think what we're doing, but, you know, it's a little thing. It's good manners. It's showing respect to others. It's your children live with you and see you every day. They by all means will see your mess-ups and admit your mistakes and then use them as teaching opportunities. So what do you think about that, sir, about being that role model in your kids' lives, as you know, because they're around you. They're around you more than your congregation, around you than the people you know at work, that they see you and they see the different aspects of life and how you handle it. So how important is that to be a positive role model in the lives of our children?
Wow, you know, it's a very awesome topic if we start off tonight, Deke, because it's so true. And being a role model, sometimes we forget that it's not always the things that we outright say. It's not always the things that we outright do that we intend for them to mimic or to learn. They watch and derive how to act and how to move by so many things that we do as fathers. And it's imperative that we as fathers take time out to realize that everything we do, they watch. And everything, how we live, it inculcates into their lives. Then they, in turn, begin to move in such manners. I'll give you an example. It's like I heard a story about a young lady who had went over to France and was sitting down and after a while of being there, she had noticed something. And she was at a restaurant, and the waiter said, "Oh, you're an American?" And she said, "Yes." And then he said, "We have several Americans here today." And she said, "I tell you what, don't tell me. I bet I can tell you how many people here are Americans, because bear in mind how the French, they love their dessert." So she got up, she walked around and watched the way all the people were eating dessert. And she came back and sat down. She told the waiter, "You have 8 Americans here today." And the waiter said, "Wee, that's incredible. How did you know that?" And then she said, "Because of the way we eat that pie. Here in America, we generally eat our pie from we cut our slice of pie from the point out to the crust. In France, they generally eat their pie from the crust inward toward the point. And they've learned to do so without telling each other to do so. So the children sit back and watch how their parents eat their pie, and they start eating their pie the same way their parents eat their pie. But you don't sit back and tell your child, start from the point, go out to the crust." And in France, they don't do that either. They don't say, start from the crust and go toward the point. They just do what they see. And without even saying a single word, they begin to do it that way, and it's a part of their subculture. It becomes a part of the larger culture. Our children do the exact same thing. They watch how we not only eat our pie, they watch how we act around people, how we move, what we do, and they begin to assimilate the same activities, even the things that we don't want them to. So we need to be careful with fathers. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. You know, that's right. That's one of the things, you know, we have to be able to instill, in, especially in young fathers. Because, you know, those first couple years, as you know, brother, those first couple years, it's fine. You know, from birth to about, you know, maybe 3 or so, 4. But especially by the time they start, when they start going to school. Because those formative years between 1 to 4 is really the formative years. That's where they learn. You know, they learn that they learn authority, they learn to respect authority. You tell them no, they know what no means. You know, they learn to test their environment, and you're shaping and molding them and preparing them. They learn a lot in those years. But then, as for us to be as role models, when they start to go out, when they first go into school and go out and interact with others besides the family unit, it's how they're going to respond and how they act in public. You know, we talk about, I know a lot of people like to criticize, you know, parents when they see their kids in the supermarket or whatever, and they acting out. But that's because, again, they haven't. If they're not doing it at home, you can't expect them to do anything different. There's no reason to get upset at them because it's not how you raised you. You haven't instilled that into. Because you know, there's something we talk about all the time when raising children. I learned a long time ago. You know, children they have to learn patience. You have to teach them patience. You have to teach them to sit still. And we're losing some of that. And with the father being that overall authority in the home, where the children are learning from that, they know what a quiet time is. And that's part of raising, I really believe that's part of raising our children. And we're instilling that thing in them. And that's what I think is why it's important to be role models in that. Because if we don't have a sense of a quietness about us, how we could sit down and be able to be, to handle the quiet. You know, you know, Pastor, a lot of people, they just can't sit and be quiet. Right. They have to either talk, got to have the TV on, something got to be going on to give them outside, or what I'm going to call it, external stimulation. But
exactly.
A lot of folk, even adults, can't sit in a quiet and peace. That'll drive them crazy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't disciplined themselves. And that's what we as fathers have to be able to discipline our children to learn that quiet and that peace. You know, because, you know, we have all these things we talk about in schools and what's going on in the culture. But I believe it all starts at home, and at home it starts with the father. Because the father can be a certain that guidance, that authority figure. You know, that's something we're going to talk about later. But a lot of folk don't have that at home. So when they go out, especially we see it in the schools, we see it in early elementary school, you know, that these are the struggles that we have because they don't know how to have peace within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been taught it. And it's about having a disciplined life. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell and Deacon Thomas Farr. And if you'd like to join us, you can, if you're listening online and you'd like to join us, you can call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad and share if you have some thoughts you want to share. Also, you can also find us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can reach out to us there. You can always reach us there, leave us messages, check some of our posts. We share a lot of things there about men's ministry, ministering to men, devotionals, some wisdom. And that's a good way you can contact us, too, because any information we get from men's ministry, we share there. So if you know, if you have nothing going on a particular weekend and we know a brother or a church is having a men's fellowship, we post it there. You can go in and have some fellowship, hang with some Christian brothers, and just spend some time. Because, you know, we believe that ministry to men is very important, a time for men to come together in fellowship and just encourage one another in the Word of God and just in this company. You know, we have a lot of men who, especially I find out that a lot of men in church don't have any Christian friends. They don't have someone to be able to just talk with and hang out with. Because as you all know, my thing is I wasn't raised in the church, but when I was out, I always had a crew of guys I could always depend on to go and do something. I don't care whatever. If it was the good stuff and the bad stuff. Go baseball games, basketball games. And then when it's time to hit the club, hit the bar, we can make a couple phone calls and we can all roll out. But in the body of Christ, we need to have that same kind of camaraderie and fellowship. And we have some brothers that we can keep up, that'll keep us and hold us accountable. And just someone to talk to share our struggles, just to say I could be with these brothers and I'm comfortable and be encouraged by them. So that's what we encourage here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Well, Pastor Cornwell, I know that role model was very important. The next one I want to touch on is get your insights on as fathers. It talks about we should not provoke our children to anger. I know that's in the scripture. I'm trying to just coming back to my memory. I think it's in
Proverbs
Ephesians.
20.
It's in Ephesians. Okay, Proverbs 20. And that mm-hmm. provoking, I want you to input in that because that is something that we don't, the simplicity of it is we're not provoking our kids to anger, but that's also a father's responsibility even when we discipline them. And we discipline them, and, you know, it's something I've done it myself, so I don't want to stand up here and be hypocritical or accusatory. But sometimes we say stuff to our children like, you know better, and they do stuff, especially when they're young. I say, you know, sometimes you have to think about that. If they truly knew better, would you think they would still do it? I mean, sometimes it's innocent mistakes, and we try to, and we come down and chastise them. And now they're when we're provoking them, we're really breaking their spirit sometimes. What do you think about that, sir?
Actually, you're right. It's in Ephesians 6 as well. You're right. It's amazing how we do sometimes. You know, I'll look at what happens now. I want to speak specifically right now to the fathers, that's the generally speaking in the black subculture. We grew up, too many of us grew up in either a culture where the father wasn't there, or the father that was there was either barely there, or when he was there, he was not a good example. And so too many of us young black men had grown up either imprinting off our mothers or and that impacts us from an emotional standpoint, And so when we walked around making decisions based on our emotions, and we didn't understand what it meant to be around our father. Now, that can have a terrible impact on a young man, because a young man grows up making those decisions based off his emotions and get excited. He sees his mother's strength, and he thinks that is strength like he's supposed to display. But the Bible does specifically speak about it to fathers in the book of Ephesians. It does clearly say, do not provoke your children to anger. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Do not, and that is a true statement, because it's imperative that we do so, because our children need to see. Now, that's also a finding that as a pastor, even among other subcultures here in the United States of America, we see whites and we see Hispanics, men who grew up, and we, even those of us who had our fathers in our lives, we still, without, sometimes you have a father in your life, but he's not really in your life. He's not really actively engaged in your life and actively training and teaching. And that's where we see that in Proverbs 20, it says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find him. Then it says, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Okay? And it's that clearly states, and up a little higher, it says in verse 2, before I get down there, it says, the fear of the king is as a roar of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. In essence, if you're sitting here and you want to go and try to provoke a lion, that's not very smart. You're going to end up destroying yourself. But it goes on down through here, and it's talking about how to move and honor, kind of move in a way that you go after that deep water of understanding, and then when walking and taking to the point where your children are blessed because of you, because of the way you walked. It's very important, Deke. I think that we as fathers realize that we have an obligation, especially, there's no excuse. I can't say, well, I didn't have my daddy. And it's amazing how it goes. You hear people who didn't have their fathers, well, I didn't have my father, that's why I'm so messed up. Then the other one says, I had my father and he messed me up. The other one says, well, my father wasn't really active in my life, so that's why I messed up. The other one says, my father, he tried his best, but sometimes he was too hard on me, trying to push me to be too much, and therefore I messed up. It's always some excuse that people can have, and then we in turn turn back and we push that into our children. Stop making excuses. Stop having whatever reason that whatever happened between you and your father, and you become a better father. You grab the word of God and learn how to push and force yourself to become the man of God that's going to be the kind that your children can appreciate and grow up under, and they too can learn how to become a stronger man and woman of God. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. You know, you're correct. And I want to give a scenario here for every man that's listening, or every brother that's listening, and every father. Just imagine, you know, just imagine on your job. I want to take it to you. You know, imagine your job. If every day you went to work and you find out that your boss changed the rules and expectation on you. Every time every day you come in, every week, there's a new rule, there's a new expectation. It's always changing. And how frustrated would you be? And sometimes that's what we do to our kids. You know, we give them rules. We should give them rules to obey and expect them to comply. And then when we do that, and we do without the yelling and screaming, and that's something that you talked about too, about how we respond with a little feminine on things. Because, you know, men, I usually realize that even myself, I tend not to yell as much as my wife does. You know, I get frustrated and I get, you know, upset with my children. But when she does it, she's more vocal about it than I am. But if you don't have that, if you don't see how men and women handle things differently, you know, yelling and screaming, you know, some kids, that doesn't mean anything to them anymore. But so we have to be, as fathers, there has to be a better way to engage them. And really, as our children get older, you know, I learned it myself this a long time ago. As my children get older, my expectation for them to do better is more of them, that I've already instilled some stuff in them. But we have to be clear that we have spoken clearly. We didn't speak subliminally. that we tell them what the expectations are, we know what they know what the rules are, and we expect them to follow the rules or the structure or even the way that we're raising them. But if we're not clear with it, like I said, we always talk about, we tell our children they should know better. Well, if you haven't taught them, because let me say this, saying it once is not teaching them. It's atmosphere. It's, are you speaking into them? Are you hearing what? Are you confirming within them? Are you working with them? Because they have personalities, and you know, they're going to be people too someday. You know, I used to say that, you know, talk about that a lot in men's groups, that we have to raise our kids to be people that we want to be around. Are we raising our kids to be adults that we would even like being around? Or we just, you know, we don't let them not grow up. We don't give them responsibility. We don't hold them accountable. But how many of your friends or people you want to be around who have no boundaries and no discipline in their life? You wouldn't want to be around them. So why would we want to raise our kids that way? And that's what I think we have to talk about when we talk about provoking our kids to anger and outbursts and rebellion. Amen. Listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here with Pastor Cornwell, and we're talking about some of the things. So we're trying to share some wisdom for fathers. We're sharing the wisdom for fathers on how important they are, and then anything that they're going through, how we could try and help them to check themselves, look in the mirror, to see what you are, because you're a father from the day they're born until you go. You're a father your whole life, but you're a father for different seasons. You know, as your children grow older, and they're going to need you for different things. You know, a 6-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 25-year-old are going to need a different father, and you have to be able to grow and mature in those positions and roles. But some of these things we're talking about today is basic, that we want to be good role models, and we want to respect our children as they grow, as we're teaching them. I think sometimes they got to be allowed to make mistakes so they can learn, but then we have to be able to help their failures, learn from their failures. Then their failures is always punishment. Amen. That's cool. We're going to bring one person. I got one caller on the line here. I want to bring them in and see what they think. Caller, your last four numbers are 6839. Go ahead. Hello, praise the Lord.
Hey, Deacon Farr.
Yes, your last four numbers are 6839.
What's going on, Deacon Farr?
Hey, Brother Morris. How are you, Minister Brother Morris? How are you, sir?
Man, I'm all right. I'm all right.
All right. I see.
Just listening to, you know, the conversation of both of you, you know, you, Deacon, Pastor, is just like, I think the biggest thing that I struggle with and I deal with as far as just dealing with fatherhood is like, we grew up at a point where, I don't know why it's a new cliche, we always tell our children we want them to be better than we were. And the way we bring this accountability level to them, you know, and I think dealing with ministry, sometimes we as fathers, it's like we're nervous about being transparent because there's so few of us in the church that are active, you know, not to say a slant towards the body of Christ, but that are like active in the church. So it's like we are under a veil of having to have a certain attitude, a certain personality, and we're not allowed to have flaws. And as Pastor Conwell said, we might be raised at a certain time in our lives where we understand it. Yes, some of us didn't have fathers there. Some of us had dads that were there that some people wish maybe shouldn't have been there. But as we grow and mature as men, we have to understand that, you know, you always hear a brother say that, I don't know what a good man is, or I don't know what a good father is. But when you talk about their father, they'll tell you about the faults of their father, the shortcomings of their father. And as I've learned with my own personal experience with my own father, it's just I do the opposite of what my dad did. My dad was in the home, but he was absent in the home. So now I'm not absent in the home. I'm at home. I'm doing homework. I'm asking Hello. How their day was. You know, I'm not trying to. Most of us, we brothers, we're strong in the word, and sometimes our children just need to see us be transparent. You know, like I tell my sons, one in military, one in college, that I had some shortcomings, and I personally tell them what I went through, and they weren't mistakes, they were very poor choices, because I knew the outcome, but I thought I was going to get away with it. So to me, it just was a poor choice in judgment. But we in the body of Christ, brothers need to come together more. And just not just on the realm of having a tea or a prayer breakfast, even dealing in business and social structures that we sometimes we just find ourselves not wanting to be a part of, the economical system that we're just, I think, is very neglected in the body of Christ, you know. But I'm learning to just to be more open to helping brothers that are in ministry, you know, such as yourself, Deacon Farr. And I met Pastor Carwell about a year or so ago when I was under Pastor Jesse Young. Brothers are out there doing what they need to do, and it's just that we find ourselves at times, which is very stressful. They want us to do so much, but we have so little help. So, you know, my hat's off to, you know, Pastor Carwell and yourself, and just having the chance to get on the phone and communicate at this time that the body is in trouble as far as men being open and transparent and making us act that we have to be on a certain level of being almost super saints. But when they show our human side, which sometimes we do get angry, sometimes we do break down, sometimes we do fall short, that we need that brother, not that sister, because they're always around. A sister will always be there for you to pick you up, but a brother to give you encouraging word or at least a phone call or a number that you can call. I think that's really, you know, the anemic part of ministry is that we don't really have all those numbers or have all those brothers unless we're doing something that is religious corporately. We don't know how to go out and just have some chicken or a sandwich, you know, and do some things that are very, very personal without having a religious, you know, overtone that we can't open up and really tell how we really feel without looking down, you know, looking down on. So, as again, I just appreciate just hearing the knowledge and wisdom from two men of God that I respect, you know, in person and behind the scenes. I see how much good work you're both doing. So it's a privilege for me to even be on the line with each of you.
Amen, sir. We appreciate that, brother. You know, that's exactly what we talk about. That's the whole genesis. Because me and Pastor Cornwell got together. It's the same. That you're right. The things you're saying is absolutely correct. It's that fellowship. It's that coming together, that encouraging one another, and talking about some of the real issues. I heard you say about, yeah, that was our new theme, right, Pastor Cornwell? We doing no more
exactly
pancake
right.
breakfasts.
That's exactly right. That's
but
right.
Because brothers, you know, brothers in the church, they're struggling. A lot of brothers are struggling, and this is why we have these forums. We have this format. We put it out there.
Man.
You know, we encourage folk. You know, I'm doing this radio show is to put some stuff out there and stir up that within brothers. Because as men, once we come to Christ, especially, I just share my thing. My thing was when I came to Christ, I seen that I could do better. Then I started to do the things to let God change me on the inside first. Because that's today. I still don't have a matching pants and jacket. I got a pant. I got some slacks, and I got some jackets, and I got some ties. But I don't have like the whole combo yet. But however, on the inside, you know what I'm saying? On the inside, I think I'm a totally changed man from back in 1996. But I mean, you know, that's you know, we get into that change, make it look dressy. I mean, Jesus spoke about it. He called them whitewashed tombs and with dead bodies, you know, sepulchres. You know, they're all pretty on the outside, but inside their hearts are still evil. And I think we have to get past that when we're talking to men, is get to the heart of what men are struggling with and let them know that through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, he can fix the inside. The outside will catch up. But if you got something on the inside, God can use you and God will use you. And he's going to use you in your family. He's going to use you in the church. He's going to use you with your children and with your wife. But you have to be able to stand still and let him do the changes and then heal supernaturally. People will start seeing something different in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is Issue Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Minister Jonathan Morris and Pastor Maurice Cornwell. Minister Jonathan, real quick, let some people know about your ministry and how they can reach out to you and what you're doing there.
Basically, I'm really on a sabbatical. I do a lot of teaching, but right now I'm just trying to revamp and get things together for Waters of Life, Bible Institute. What I basically do, I try to bring us back to the concept of what the Bible is really talking about, which is we go all the way back to, apologetics or systematic theology or hermeneutics, basically dealing with the Greek and the Hebrew and trying to dig into the word and find out what it really needs, you know, what is really speaking to us, and try to stop doing, you know, I'm a little rebel digging for, you know, I just think we need to get into that word and dig into it and stop thinking if we pray 5 times a day or 20 times a week that money's going to come into our bank account. That's not what the word's about. The word's about building character and building Christ-like character and building soldiers, you know, because at this point in ministry and even in the kingdom of God, it's just everything's a cliche, but they don't know that there's an obligation when we deal with God. So when we study his word diligently, as he tells us over and over again, study my word, eat my word, read my word. You know, precept upon precept means to take it and dissect it. It don't mean that every time you go to church that there's nothing wrong with, you know, dancing and praising and jumping around and doing backflips. But when it gets down seriousness to a personal relationship with our Father, we need good study time with him, you know, and it's healthy. You know, it got me out of a rut, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say I did 15 years in prison. But I still don't know how to play spades, and I don't know how to play dominoes, but I know the word. And it kept me sane. It kept me from losing my mind. So when I talk about the word, I talk about the word because I know the health it was for me and the monster I was. You know, I wasn't no innocent person that went to prison. I did it all. I was guilty. And he kept my mind, and he kept my heart. So I have a personal passion for breaking the word down, you know, to its least common denominator, as they used to say in the rap kingdom, break it down to its least common denominator so you can understand it as much as a child can understand it. And don't fear what it says. Open it up and learn it for yourself and get under good leadership. You know, I love getting under good leadership and blessing people under good leadership. And good leadership is hard to find because nowadays good leadership is a salary thing, or they paid, or they're scared to say certain things and teach certain things. But at the end of the day, you know, leadership don't care how many people they counting. They're dealing with souls and lives and families. So Waters Life Holistic Ministry and Bible Institute is just a institute that's here to bless pastors and bless men and women of God that really want to get into the Word of God for themselves and not to get the DDDs and the WDIEs and all the initials behind their name, but get the word in them, you know. So that's what I do. I try my best to do what I was called in my anointed gift is teaching, and I try to make my Father proud, and that's what the Institute basically does.
Amen, amen, brother. And I'll vouch for it. I know a couple of people. As a matter of fact, I've taken 2 classes with you, and I hear your passion when you teach. So we encourage folks. You can go on Facebook. And what was your website, brother?
Believe it or not, Dean, before I took it down. I took it down for a while to revamp and redo some things. And I'm really I learned a lot our last class, Deacon Farr. You know, I learned a lot.
Well,
I took it personally. It's time to get real about the word, and I have to revamp it and get some things done. So hopefully, I can sow into some good seed. You know, just sow into a strong ministry that really wants to bless the people of God. But we all do. That's one thing I'm learning about as I grow in teaching, and I'm preaching that we all need help like Moses. Man, we need help.
Amen.
You know, we all need help. We all need someone to come alongside of us and keep us on the straight and narrow. And it's just good when it's brothers. I'm not bashing women, but ain't nothing about a brother keeping you in line. So I love it.
Amen. Amen, brother. So when you do your next session, you can come back on. We'll talk about a little bit more on one of our future shows. Because as you know, I've expanded. So we're going to do a lot of other things. We're going to work together and do some stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk, Deacon Thomas Farr. We're going to continue on. We was talking about some of the. We wanted to share some wisdom about being a father and some insights, and we're getting it from our panel this evening. We're going to discuss a little bit. But and it's one thing Pastor Morris, you touched on. about how important it is that we talk to our children. We're talking to them. We're speaking the word of God to them. And in this one, gentlemen, I wanted to both get your response on the importance of the father taking our children to church, seeing men worship in the church. You know, you're going with your family. You know, you are gathering the kids up and you're getting the kids out and going to church, and they see you as like you. One of you said, Mr. Morris, that you know, seeing men active in the body is different. I'll say this out there because you know me, I don't have any sponsors, so I have nothing to lose. You know, you have brothers who come to they sit in the church week after week, month after month, and they're never engaged in the ministry. They're not doing anything. They're there on Sunday. They punch their spiritual time clock. And I think we have to realize our children see that too, that if you just go, you sit through a Sunday service and you roll out the door, you go home, you do the same thing on Sunday, you go back, watch the game. You go back, you may or may not go to Bible study. You know, you don't take them to make sure they go to the youth Bible study. You don't see like that yet you're involved in the church. So when we talk about taking your kids to church, we're talking about taking them and sharing their faith and giving them a foundation and an anchor in the things of God and seeing you study, pray, read, and beside in the church building. But I want to start with you, Pastor Coleman. What do you think about that? How important is that as for fathers?
It's so important because the Bible, my mother minister, it's so good to hear from you again. I do remember speaking and having fellowship with you, and I thank God for you. It's important. The Bible speaks clearly that we're supposed to teach our children all the time. It's something we do. We teach them when we're still. In fact, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, around the 10th, 11th, or 12th chapter, where now they have time to look at the fast. But it talks about when you bless them. In fact, while I'm talking, I'll look it up. It's talking about when you bless them when you're sitting down at home, when you walk along the road, and even when they lay down, when they get up. Our job is to teach our children, to train our children. And like you spoke earlier, I was talking to a young man on the job just the other day, at one of the sites I would go to, and he was talking about how difficult it is. In fact, it is. It's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19. I remember when I was talking to this young man about his frustration he was getting with his son because he tell his son some things, he just don't listen. And I looked at him, he has like a 5 or 4 year old son, and it's his first son. And I sort of chuckled and I said, well, man, you know, the Bible don't tell you to say it to your child one time and he's will obey everything you say the first time you tell him. The Bible says you train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible always talks about training. And this scripture was so important that we understand how the scripture speak of. Also, the scripture also does the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it talks about how do you impress upon your children? You teach them diligently unto your children the ways of God. You shall do it when you talk with them, when they're in your household, when they're walking down the road, when they lie down, when they get up. That's all the time, when they're walking, when they're talking, when they're sitting, when they're leaving, when they're laying down. You know, one thing I used to do is come into my children's room, and I still do at times. I work at night from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., so I may not get a chance to do it as often as I want to, but every chance I get, I still back in there, and I meet my children right before they go to sleep, and I talk with them, and I just start talking to them and praying with them, just talking to them. And I think it's important that last voice I'm trying to hear before they go off to sleep is me. Of course, by me being, I love catching them in the morning, hey, how you doing, children, you know, but even in the book of Psalm, when they talk about, Psalm 1, in fact, it says that blessed is the man that walketh not in counsel of God, nor stand the way of the scornful, nor sinners or the mockers, but his life is from the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate both day and night, and he shall make a tree planted by the rivers of water. It goes on and on and on. But it says you walk, you sit, and you stand. And if it's talking to a man that's blessed, if you walk, sit, if you don't walk, sit, or stand, then I mean if you do walk, sit, or stand and not in this area, you will not be blessed. And if you're doing it, your children see you, again, you're teaching them their ways you teach them your ways, and your ways become their ways. And then you have to teach them and train them and instruct them. And training is something you do over and over and over again. You know, I look at the commercial where the guy goes into the gym and he stops. He looks at it, looks at it, get up on the scale. He looks down the scale, looks at his weight. He gets off the scale, runs one lap around the room, come back, get up on the scale, look back at the scale again. Like, what? Like nothing changed? Really? Like he expected some great big change in that one little teeny action. That's what we do too often as fathers with our children. We think that one conversation is going to change them. And we impress ourselves by one long Bill Cosby type of conversation we have with our son. And we're like, wow, or our daughter, then that should be good. That should lock them in forever. And then we find a son or daughter goes off and still bump their head. And as opposed to getting frustrated with them, and again, acting out of your emotions and taking some time out to understand how a man should move with our children, slow down. Go back and instruct them again. Take the time out to teach. Take the time out to lovingly teach, to educate, to provide material, source material for your children to glean from. So when they get in trouble, when they start walking, when they start sitting, when they laying down, even dream about the Lord, you know, that's our responsibility as fathers. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen.
Pastor Mark, sir, what do you think about that?
Man, Pastor Conroe covered almost everything. Man, just, good looking, Pastor. Good looking. But it's, but you see how it just flowed out of him? It's just amazing. You know, we say the most powerful thing to me is that when I was younger, you know, sometimes your parent would get upset and say, well, you know, I said this, but I told you to do this. Don't do what I say. It was some type of cliche our family used to have. But I'm learning that no matter how much our sons or our daughters try to fight what they see, they mimic us. They mimic us. I know little children that can mimic a whole church. They know who's going to whoop. They know who likes to dance. They know who's going to catch the Holy Spirit. They'll mimic the pastor preaching. And sometimes the biggest thing that I've learned that I can do, especially for my daughter, I'm a reader, and my daughter loves books, but one day I understood why. She always see me reading. She always see me giving. And then I asked my sons, because they're older, like, what did you know? And they used to think I was a sucker. Dad, you always are giving. The biggest witness or testimony or thing that we can pour into our children is one, to be very transparent before them, very transparent. Let them see that we're not God. You know, because sometimes I hear a lot of young adults now dealing in church, you know, y'all just super saints and you act like you're God. But we have to be a part of our children's life to the point where when we go to a game, you know, I remember one time I was hollering and there was a pastor in the stadium, you know, that stands with me. It's like, oh, calm it down, son. I said, man, my son is running a touchdown. I'm going to holler. You know, let them know that we're human and we support them. Even though we want to pour that word into them and we want to pour vacation Bible school into them and we want to pour the things of God into them, sometimes we have to pour the value that God has in them. Let them know how valuable they are. Before you know, before anyone can praise you or judge you, son or daughter, it's God. He created you to be special. He's created you to be unique. You know, he said he's always wished what is best for you. He wants to pour what's in best. He wants to see the best of you. You know, and sometimes, you know, for me, it was hard to deal with disappointments, dealing with raising my children, but I always had to bounce back and say, how many times did I disappoint my parents? How many times, even though my dad was mediocre in my life, I disappointed him, disappointed my mom, disappointed myself. And we get to a plateau in ministry where we are looked at a certain way. And sometimes we deal with our children because of how other people are looking at our children. And we want them to be these perfect little demagogues and not understand they have their own personalities. And no matter how much we pour in them, they're still or consciously or all different little human lives. And sometimes they rebel to get attention, and some of our children don't rebel to get attention. Or they might be trying us to see how much territory they can take over, because that's what they do from coming out the womb. How much can I get away with? and how much discipline is needed. And one thing I do believe wholeheartedly is our children love discipline. They love structure. If you look at the world, notice there's no discipline, there's no structure. Those children that are disciplined and have structure, it's a part of loving them. They want to know, do you care if I do this or do you care if I do that? And you're going to get up and go to church. Like my grandmother said, you know, if you're in this house and you ain't paying the mortgage, you're getting up. And we start giving our children choices at the wrong time in life. What is what? 17, 18, on their way to college. We start giving them choices. Do you want to go this morning? No, you're going to go. You're going to go to church. Now, I can't make you read the Word of God, but all of us get up, we eat breakfast or whatever we need to do, and we go to church. And like Pastor said, all communities are different. Like if you look at the Jewish community, their children don't have the choice to go to synagogue. You deal with all Islam, Muslims. Their children don't have a choice to go to the masjid. But we give our children a choice at a certain age, like, well, we're going to let them know if they love God. Well, they don't have to love God all they want, but we go in church. This is what I'm pouring into you. This is a structure. And sooner or later, some get it, some don't. But the majority of our children do get it. You know, they have to see us as men. Sometime cry, sometime deal in prayer. Sometime ask God, when my daughter's sick or my son's sick, I'm broke down. And hear open prayer. Instead of hearing these exalted prayers that sound like we're trying to, you know, wean a whole cathedral of people to listen to a prayer and say, look, I'm hurt, I'm broke, and I need your help. And, you know, and that's the way I look at it, Deacon Farr. I just think that I need to stay focused on being transparent when it comes to molding my children, my daughter, my son's that's in the Marine, that he's finally coming around to the point like God is good, and my son in college that act a little buck wild at first, but he seen what I taught him was real because he went through a dramatic experience of seeing a couple of people on his team go to jail. And I said, there's nothing going on past midnight but jail and death and destruction. He said, Dad, how do you know those things? I said, because I was part of that world. So I'm just teaching you what I went through. I'm teaching what I was rescued from. I teach you what I was covered from. Because out of 30 guys I grew up with, there's maybe 3 or 4 of us left. So I let my son know I wasn't as perfect, you know, full with the Holy Ghost. Man, it took some bumps in my head, and I don't want you to go through the same things I did. And we deal with Scripture, and we deal with, like Pastor said, a man that stands strong by the rivers of water. That means God is pouring into you. You know, it's just a cliche of letting you know that God pours into you if you stand strong in the Word. That you don't deal with evil counsel. You don't run and let them whisper to you, because whatever they whisper to you is leading to destruction. And then you just show them the news or take them to the old neighborhood like I do my children. Look at them. Look where they're going. They only wave to the graveyard. You know, so we have to be structured in church and actually be involved. You know, if Dad's not involved, your son's not going to be involved. You know, unless your wife push him into it, usher in a little usher or something. But when we're involved, our children see the value of church. Men are very valuable in church, more than I've ever, you know, as I get older and more mature in the Word of God, and we're so valuable in the church, and we're needed, desperately needed, you know. So that's how I see it, Deacon Farr.
Amen, sir. You know, you said a lot there, brother, and I'm sitting here taking some notes because you touched on a lot of things that as fathers, you know, we have to be in tune. We have to have the wisdom. We have to pray to God for that wisdom to fulfill what we call to be as fathers. I mean, sometimes it's hard because we're bucking against a system that wants to minimize the role of males, minimize the role of fathers in the home. And in some of the things that you touched on, you know, you talked about celebrating our children's the gifts that's within them. And the only way we can do that is that we have to spend time with them and know what's in them and celebrate and encourage them through that thing. We can't do that just by, you know, just because we work in paying the bills, we roll in, but we never talk to our kids. And I mean, our children are all ages. I mean, if the only time you had to sit down and have a serious conversation with your child is after they're 18, 19, 20, you missed a whole lot. That means you missed 17 years of talking about what you need to talk about because you were responsible to shape their character, to shape their thought processes. You know, because you're right, that thing you said about, you know, they late 16, 17, they want to let them choose all of a sudden. They haven't been tested. They've been under your covering. Why would you throw them from under your covering and just throw them out there, and think that they're gonna get it? Because again, anybody who knows, you know, young people, their attention spans, it's a process to maturity. And I don't care what anybody says, 18, 19, they're not done. Some are not even done to 21, depending. You know, we talked about this once in the men's group. You know, we have adult adolescents out here. We have 35, 40-year-old grown men who have not reached the maturity level of their age because they're still acting like 20-year-olds. And that's another issue that we have. And then those same men are raising children or sons, or they're still chasing women. They're still doing things that at a certain age you should have grown out of. You should realize now, even if, like you said, and I say myself, there's some stuff I learned that I did when I was young that I know didn't make sense looking back on it. But how would I want that for my seed, for my bloodline, and for my children and my grandchildren? Because, again, if we don't instill these things in our children, what do you think, what opportunity does our children's children have? And the Bible speaks about that. You know, even if you didn't get it right in the beginning, I still got time, because my children's children's children, if I can instill within them, you know, the thing I always like to harp on all the time is, you know, both of you gentlemen have been in church a while. You always hear folk get up, talk about the mothers of the church and my grandmama and all that. Was there no men in the church in the 50s and 60s and 70s? I don't understand.
Everybody.
Wasn't there no praying man? Wasn't there no somebody in the church who was praying? But again, now I come back to my generation. We should be in the church, involved in the church. We should be, my grandfather prayed for me. What's wrong with that? I don't hear a song written about my grandfather prayed for me, but that's just me. And I have issues. That's why I have a show called Issues Christian Men Talk, because I have issues on this stuff. Because again, I wasn't raised in the church. I'm not locked into it's the religious or the denominational mindset. I just see what I see and what's going on, and I wonder why. And then I wonder, you know, as the brothers I see around, and even I talk to men today. I think, well, just get involved, man. Get involved. All you got to do, pick something. You know, we recently had a men's conference, and I challenged those brothers. I said, of the men sitting here, and all of y'all attend church, but how many of y'all are teaching the youth? How many of y'all are teaching youth ministry? How many of y'all are, you know, what are you doing? How are you being part of the church and helping the pastor's vision move forward? Or you just show up and do your suits and everything, and then you let yourself get caught up into, all the men going to do is clean the church, paint the church, sweep the church, cut the grass, and that's what you think men's supposed to be doing in the church.
Right,
and
exactly.
We're failing.
Wow.
And we're failing because, you know, that's comfortable, because you right there, you ain't got to learn no word to cut the grass. You ain't got to learn no word to be able to teach others or teach the next generation. If all you got to do, you want me to sweep, you want me to paint the church, you want me to do some carpentry work around here, that's good. Because now I ain't got to read the word, and I ain't got to stand before people and preach a word and speak a word and teach a word. Well, let me say teach. I won't say preach, because that's a whole other thing. But why are we not teaching the youth? Why are there not men in the youth department, in the children's church? How come the children's church is always women? I'm just saying. I'm just asking these questions. I've done youth ministry, so I understand. But right now I'm looking back, I'm looking around. How come? That's all I want to ask every brother that's listening to this show, this Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Tom McFarland. And I just want to just put that out there, you know, as some of the things, though, men being in the church, are we taking our children to church? And then when we're taking them in there, are they seeing us part of ministry? Are they seeing the value? Are they seeing what men can do, you know? Or are we just, you know, we're doing it behind the scenes? I know a lot of brothers talk about, well, I do stuff behind the scenes. I said, why? That's all I want to know is why. Why are you wanting to be always behind the scenes? Are you the behind the scenes in your home? So you tell me you're behind the scenes in your home because your wife is doing everything. And so all your kids see is your wife running the house. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
There I go again. That's how I get in trouble.
You're
however.
You're okay.
however.
I'm just saying. I'm just, I mean, these are the things that, I mean, I guess some brothers don't really hear it this way, and I pray if you listen to the show or you listen to the rebroadcast, it just stirs something inside you and ask yourself why. Because, again, you have to look yourself in the mirror every day and understand your children. Do your children know that you love God? And do you know your, do your children know that you're sold out for God and that you believe the God, you believe the word of God? Or is, who's their faith tied to? Is it tied to you? Is God, put it this way, let me make it this way simple. Then we're going to go around for closing statements. It's this simple. Is your family, your, even your wife and your children, is there connection to God through you or through your pastor? Now we have to ask ourselves. Does God speak to you, speak to your family? Does God speak to your family through you or through your pastor? Or is it through God? God speaks to the pastor to you, and then you disseminate it through your family. I just, we just have to look at it that way. Because every man has a purpose. God has created every man. God has given man, every man, a wife and children for a reason. He has a responsibility. And I say it, I've said it before, and I always say it. God's going to hold you accountable for your family. He's not going to hold your pastor. He's not going to hold the youth church, the youth department, the children's church. None of those people are going to be held accountable for your, for the growth and the spiritual well-being and maturity of your home. You're going to stand before God. He's going to, first, he's going to ask you about your wife. He's going to ask you about your children. And I believe struggles go on, stuff happens, but have you done all you can do and been faithful to what God has put in you for your family? Because, you know, everything's not going to go perfect, because you're not, again, I mean, Pastor Morris, you know, you said it before, we don't have to be perfect, but we'll be honest, and then when we needed help, say, God, help me through this thing, because I just don't know. And then, you know, again, my thing, again, I'm in a new thing right now. I was recently in a Bible study. I just want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. All the rest of this stuff, that's my whole thing now. And that's, I like to speak on that and bring that to the point. We are going to stand before God, and he's going to judge our life. We're saved. We're like the eight souls on the ark. We're on the ark, but now what are we going to do? You're on the ark. You're good. You didn't die in the flood, but now. Why did God save us? Well, for what purpose? And I can't believe that God, being all-knowing, all-wise, and omnipresent, he doesn't have a call on every man's life. But we have to be able to be obedient and find out what that call is. Brothers, I like to, you know, we're getting close, but I want to go around. Any closing statements, any closing comments? Brother Pastor Cornwell, I'll start with you, sir.
Hey, amen, gentlemen. It's been such a pleasure having this conversation, and I pray that whomever listens to it is blessed by it. Real quickly, I look into a scripture. It's in 3 John, and it says that I rejoice. 3 John is chapter 1, and it says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that was in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And then he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He was speaking to Christians that whom he had trained and taught. And part of the issue that we have as men, and brother minister did touch on this, the problem we have is that we don't have men who are trained in church. Too many men come through church, and we have this cyclic situation that's in church where men, when they come from church, we have pastors who've been preaching for 40, 50, 60, and 70 years who don't want to get off the throne, if you will. And when another young minister come on, or young man come on board who says, hey, I'm ready to start preaching, we will say to that young man, well, wait till you're seasoned. You know, you're not ready yet. And we'll press him down so that he's into, and don't show to him the things that we need to do. Be transparent, be open. Let him see the mistakes we make. Let him see how to grow so he can see how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so this young man ends up going off trying to learn how to do it on his own somewhere, and he makes the same mistakes or worse mistakes than it was that he would have made if we would have trained him. And then this young man grows up, and he goes out there, he struggles to do it, and the cycle continues. As opposed to having a discipleship relationship, a father-son relationship, where the older men teach the younger men and be transparent, be open to see how to do things, and then the young man grows up and he teaches the young men and so forth and so forth. I think that's one thing that we need to make sure that we bring, try to do our best to bring back into the church, that relationship between pastor, and as a pastor, I don't try to pastor no other man's home. I agree with you so much, Deacon. I get tired of seeing that. I tell a man, go home and talk to your wife and your children because you need to train them. And when they, well, what do I do? I don't want to do my personal. Go, what do I pray together? Go talk together. Now try to give them some scripture. Go back and talk to your wife because it's not my job to run your home. It's your job to run your home. My job is simply teach the word of God. And if you yield to it, so be it. If you don't, but I can't control another man's home, nor will I walk one foot to try to walk to somebody's house and try to change anything in this house. I think we all should do the exact same thing as pastors. Brother Deacon?
Wow.
Amen. Minister Jonathan, brother, close the statements.
I think, out of respect for pastor, out of respect for you, Deacon Farr, I think it's time for brothers in the body of Christ to don't worry about who's looking at the right or the left. Become as transparent as you possibly can. You know, talk to, you know, build up this new generation of believers that's coming up and let them understand what your struggles were, what they might still be. But in this time, of, you know, we just, for me, I'm learning that I have to let these young generations see the things that I've stumbled over and seen my faults and understand that, you know, God is still in control. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in a towel. Keep moving forward. Keep trusting, you know, those around you in leadership, your pastor. You know, sometimes I think a lot of men of God that preach do get a bad rap because it's just something about beating up pastors. And there might be some rough pastors out there, but that's none of my business. My business is there's some strong pastors out there that want to teach, that want to help build families, that want to open up venues such as this for men to talk to each other and men to be groomed. And I think that's what we should be concerned about. We shouldn't be concerned about the pastor that got the boat or the train or the plane, which I got caught up in real bad in ministry. You know, no. You know, it's about focusing on our families, getting together and building relationships so we can save our children. Because it ain't about us. Like you said before, we already on the ark. We cool. But what are we going to do now? You know, and I think God is pressing on us. The Father's pressing on us. What are you going to do now? You're not in the street. You ain't running rim. You ain't drinking. So what are you going to do? Just stay up in the fishbowl and get fed every Sunday and live a nice little life, have, you know, potato salad and some ribs at your funeral and then go on? Or is you going to make a difference in the body of Christ? And I employ any brother that has a strong spirit to think that they can't be used. You can be used. You don't need no one to tell you to step out and do ministry. You need it. You need to be seen. You need to be heard. And you need to be an example. And any brother that's listening to this broadcast, please understand that you can be a ministry without having a bunch of initials behind your name. Just come on aboard and do what God has anointed you to do. I'll leave with that, Deacon Farr.
Amen, brothers and gentlemen. I appreciate y'all coming on the show tonight, man. I appreciate both of you, and we're gonna
appreciate
be in touch. And we're gonna do. Amen, amen. We can do more shows, man. I got more plans. I got more visions to be able to take this venue and this media opportunity and expand it. Because I do believe that we can speak into the hearts and minds of men and encourage some brothers. Because we have brothers who are on the fence. We have brothers who wake up every morning and sit on the edge of the bed and wonder if this is the day I'm going to blow my head off or jump off the roof, or if I'm going to leave my wife, or what I'm going to do, you know. And then let me say this: those same brothers are in church every week. That's my biggest passion.
Yep,
they're in church every week,
exactly.
And every morning,
come on now.
And every morning they struggle with what they're going to do next because we're not reaching them, we're not speaking. We're not giving them the word of God that's going to heal and change them. And I say that because I've been through those struggles, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't know what would have happened. You know, my whole life in the 80s, early 90s was, you know, I look back on it now, and I said, you know, it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, I don't know what would have happened. But
I know what God can do, you know, because when the pressure gets there, you're going to have something, you need something to lean on, because if you don't, you're going to fall over. Amen.
Yep.
So I appreciate you, brothers. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This episode, we've had Pastor Maurice Cornwell from Uplift the Lord Ministry and Minister Jonathan Morris. Brothers, I thank you very much. I'm going to close with this short prayer. Well, not a prayer. It's a poem I've recently found. I think I got it somewhere around Father's Day, but I just wanted to share it again because we were speaking into some wisdom and share with young fathers and men who are fathers. It says, "What makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, a generous soul of nature, a comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need." Then God combined these qualities, and where there was nothing more to add, he knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. Amen, brothers. God bless you. My audience is listening. God bless you. Look for us on Facebook for our next broadcast. And if you're listening to this, please tell your brothers, your uncles, your cousins to tune in and join us. We will be live on every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you and be blessed. Thank you, brothers and gentlemen. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Dick. Your brothers.